Well, today we finish up our little series that we have called Over. And we've been talking about our tendency to get into life that's overwhelmed, overstressed, overcommitted, over, and you fill in the blank. And we get over our heads, and then the stress of an overloaded life wreaks all kinds of dysfunction and havoc in our relationship with others and in our relationship with God. So how do you say no to the temptation of living over your limits? We've been considering the unexpected discovery that living this overworked and overpromised, overstressed, overcommitted life leads to less than your best life. And we've been considering God's invitation that comes to us through His Word and by His Spirit to live a different way. We're learning to respond to that invitation, to live a life that is under His rule. Let God be over because He's able to. And let's live under His rule and reign. He deserves a place of power and authority. And at the foot of His throne, you and I will find boldness and grace and help. Now, I have to tell you that I have laughed a few times through this series at the fact that I'm teaching on not living in condition over while fighting not to live there myself. I don't teach today from a position of an expert on freedom from being overwhelmed. My wife and I have four little children, and just that right there, that's enough. And we just moved to a new home, so we're living in boxes up to our ears, and we had family visiting, and we just had more family arrive yesterday to visit, and I just built a fence in our backyard, and then Friday night, two nights ago, we had 14 third grade girls in our home for my daughter's birthday party. It was over. So we have a lot going on, and I live in and out of condition over all the time. I don't talk to you as a kind of spiritual monk that escapes reality and spends my days in prayer and peaceful meditation. There will be days when you are overwhelmed. There will be days when you receive news that you were not expecting. There will be days when your reality catches up with you and you realize that you have been giving full rein to your appetite, or when work builds up, or when a loved one becomes needy. And there are so many ways that you and I can find ourselves living in condition over. And here's what I'm learning. You and I are going to find ourselves there, and Jesus invites us to be prepared for that. We'll all have to tame overcommitted schedules and overfed appetites and overworked drives from time to time. And God invites us to be prepared when that happens by living a life that is set apart with Jesus. And that's what I want to talk with you about today, a life that is set apart with Him. So let's just pause before we go any further, and let's just ask God on both sides of the street, trusting that He's with us and that He wants to lead us to that life with Him. Would you pray with me? God, we do just recognize that by Your goodness, because of Your love for us, You're with us. You're with us this morning, not because we've convinced You to be, but just because You love us. And so, God, I pray You meet every one of us right where we are this morning. And You make very clear Your invitation to come. Come and do a life with You. We trust you to lead us to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so if we're going to be people who are prepared for life to get overwhelming, we have to respond to God's invitation to a life that is set apart. Think about the Olympics. You know, whenever the Olympics come on and they show us some of the backstories of the athletes, and very often we hear a story about somebody who wanted to achieve in a particular competition, a high level of performance, and so they will move across the country to live close to a coach somewhere who will prepare them with a plan of action that gets them prepared. Well, in the same way, Jesus invites you and I, not across the country, but away with him into a life that is set apart through our faith in Jesus. This verse didn't make it into the bulletin this weekend, but it'll be on the screens. You might want to make a note of it. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this verse follows a description of the way we live when we are not living set apart with Jesus, okay? That's the context. And then Peter says, but you aren't like that. You've come to faith in him. You've received and responded to this invitation to life with Jesus. And he says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Where it says God's very own possession, older translations say it this way, that you are a peculiar people. Some of you remember that. A peculiar people. Peculiar, different, unique, strange, not just like the masses, but peculiar. God has and is calling us out of darkness into something different, a life that is set apart with him. Another place in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, this will also be on the screen, says, we are the temple of the living God. A temple was a special place set apart for being close to God. And this scripture says that's what you are. As you have responded to Jesus with faith, you are set apart with him. You're a temple of the living God. And then it quotes these words of God from the Old Testament where God says, I will live in them, talking about those who put their faith in God. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So what does that mean? This means that God is calling you and me to a special and unique life with him. A life with special and unique choices and unique actions and unique decisions. A life set apart with Jesus is a life that hears and responds to God's invitation to step aside from life as usual and walk according to something different, according to his word and his spirit. And when we do that, we don't bump into Jesus on occasion, but we respond through faith daily to his call to live with him as our Savior and our Lord. The words of the Bible, when we step aside into life with Jesus, the words of the Bible aren't just suggestions on how to live a better or morally superior life. The words of the Bible are an invitation to a way of life ordered by God's love and truth. And here's the thing. You and I can make the mistake of living out just the expectations of our families or our friends or our coworkers or our culture, even with the best of intentions, believing that God just didn't choose us for anything special or important. He didn't choose us to be spiritual leaders. He didn't choose us to lead others to know Him. He didn't choose us to be that holy priesthood, that peculiar people. But don't make that mistake. Don't settle for the belief that God just wants you to have a little bit of Christianity, just enough to make you morally grounded. Because Jesus calls you away into a life that is unique and special and peculiar. What's keeping you from a life set apart with God? What keeps you from pursuing greater nearness in your relationship with God? I want you to look now at the bulletin in the center section. There's a story from Luke chapter 6. If you didn't get one, the verses will be on the screen as well. It's a story of Jesus living a life that is set apart and then inviting others to that life with Him. And so that's where we pick up chapter 6 of Luke. This is following a little story. And so it says, one day soon after that, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And He prayed to God all night. At daybreak, He called together all of His disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. And here are their names: Simon, whom He named Peter. We know Peter from a lot of stories in the New Testament. Andrew, Peter's brother. James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Him. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large level area, surrounded by many of His followers and by the crowds. And there were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the seacoasts of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch Him, because healing power went out from Him, and He healed everyone. A crowd of people from all over, and everyone tried to touch Him. Talk about overwhelmed. But Jesus had prepared Himself for this moment by spending time set apart with God. A life set apart with God is a life prepared for overwhelming circumstances. When you and I know God, when we have learned to trust God, when we have spent time talking to God and thinking about the truth of His Word in our lives, what He says to us through the Bible, then you and I can face condition over with a peculiar peace and confidence and patience that comes from Him. Do you have a regular practice of stealing away with God? Mark talked about a couple of weeks ago scheduling your time. Some of you will remember he said that sometimes a calendar can be a very spiritual thing. The importance of scheduling your time and making certain that your plan includes time spent in prayer and in God's Word and in friendship with others who are following Jesus. Do your plans reflect your desire to do life with Jesus? Mark asked this profound question: does your schedule reflect who you want to become, or just the things you want to get done? Remember that? Does your schedule reflect who you are becoming, or just the things that you want to get done? Because it's very easy for our lives to become full, too full, of what we want to get done with no attention to who we're becoming. And when we live like that, we can hope that we bump into God's Spirit, But living a life that's set apart with Jesus means that we spend time seeking God's Spirit. We spend time praying to align our hearts and minds and our thoughts and intentions with the character of God. We spend time reading and knowing God's Word so that we can put into practice His truth and wisdom. Next week, in fact, Tom is going to be speaking to us on Palm Sunday. And Tom is going to share with us a little reading plan, just a week-long reading plan that's like the CA reading plan that's on our website year-round. But his is going to kind of direct us towards Easter and celebrating Easter. And those reading plans are just little tools to help us get away with God and spend a little time with Him, so that we might live a life set apart with Jesus. For you are a chosen people, Peter said. You are a royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession, a peculiar people. As a result of that, as a result of coming away and spending your life set apart with Jesus, as a result of that, then you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. God still calls you and I away with Him. Just like Jesus invited those followers up to the mountain to pray and to draw close to God, God invites you and I to be prepared for life to get over our heads by living set apart with Him. A set apart life that prepares us for an overwhelming circumstance often looks very, very ordinary. Our story, the story that we read in the bulletin, ended with Jesus healing everybody, but that's not always how life with Jesus looks. Sometimes, a lot of times, life set apart with Jesus looks very ordinary. We live in a world that loves celebrities and loves superheroes. We love when people are extraordinary and aren't like us. Those are our favorite stories. We're a culture of American Idol and America's Got Talent and The Voice and The Bachelor. Don't pretend you don't watch that one. And Top Chef and Top Model and Dance with the Stars. And our blockbuster movies are Superman versus Batman. We had to get both of them in there. The Avengers, the X-Men, the Guardians of the Galaxy. I even read this past week that Dwayne Johnson's getting ready to make a Shazam movie. Remember Shazam? One of the lesser-known superheroes, right? Move over, Captain America. Here comes Shazam. And we love superheroes. Our culture loves youth and strength and adventure, and so we can sometimes miss the value of just an ordinary life. We overvalue celebrity and overvalue fame. And we overvalue extraordinary abilities so that we are constantly chasing that next big thing and missing the mundane reality where God is inviting us to a life set apart with Him. I read a quote by Richard Rohr that I found really helpful, and I share it with you on the screens. It says, "Every heroic journey begins with good fanfare and wild hopes, and you need that impetus to get started. In the middle of the journey, however, you begin to hit your limit. In your 20s, it feels good being the hero, putting your ladder against walls and charging ever upward, conquering this and that. By the middle of the story, heroism fails you. And along the way, you find that you're quite an ordinary man. Maybe to accept that is your real heroism. The sad thing is that most cultures praise and reward the early heroism of the first half of life and then look the other way when it comes to the quiet, holiness and faithfulness of actual saints in the middle of the journey. You see, life isn't always spectacular. Sometimes life is boring and monotonous. Sometimes we read the Bible and nothing happens. Sometimes we pray and our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes we sing our songs of worship and praise simply because it's good to speak those words of truth. Sometimes a relationship with God is very ordinary, but it is that ordinary relationship with God that's going to prepare you and I for times when life gets over our heads. As a dad of my four kids, I can tell you that sometimes I have conversations with my kids that are not at all interesting to me. But I don't stop talking and listening to them. I don't stop because I want my kids close to me. I want them close to me so that when they have things they really need to talk about, when they face hard circumstances and life gets over their head, they really need to talk with me. Then we have this closeness that comes from just a very ordinary friendship. That's what Jesus invites us to in a life set apart with Him. You see, in the story that we read about Jesus, He goes up to the mountain to a life set apart with God, but then He invites some disciples to join Him. And from those disciples, He draws some very close to Him. And we have the list of those that He named apostles. He sent out as messengers. And what I love about that list of apostles is that some of the names are well-known names that are kind of best supporting actors in the gospel, like Peter and James and John. We know these names from the extraordinary lives that they ended up living. But what about some of the other names on that list? What about Andrew? And what about Bartholomew? And what about the other James? Or the other Simon? Or the other Judas? There are some very ordinary people following Jesus. These are the lesser known apostles, the Shazams of the Bible. And drawing close to Him, sometimes looks so ordinary. My name could be on that list. Your name could be on that list. These guys were not carrying impressive resumes around, but look what an ordinary life set apart with Jesus turns out to be. In the book of Acts, is a book that goes beyond the ministry of Jesus after He ascends to the Father and He sends the Holy Spirit. And it's a book about the church growing and the gospel going out all over the world. And it's a book about miracles and all kinds of amazing things that happen. And there's a story in the book of Acts about some of Jesus' followers arriving in a city in causing all kinds of curiosity and conflict by talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And it stirs up enough conflict that they actually get arrested and brought to the city council. And this is what is said about them in Acts chapter 4. It says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." These ordinary men, but there is something extraordinary about them. And the only explanation for that is they've been with Jesus. A life set apart with Jesus that prepares us for when life gets over our head is an ordinary life of faithfully following Jesus. Paul is another great example of a man in the New Testament who drew close to the Lord and then ended up living an extraordinary life. But I love this verse. It's these two verses at the very end of the book of Acts, the last two verses, the same book that begins with the Spirit of God being given like a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire and miracles and all of these amazing things. And this is how the book ends. Acts 28, for the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome in his own rented house. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. How ordinary. In his own rented house. These are remarkably ordinary words about the apostle to the Gentiles whose life was laced with the power of God. You might have some mountaintop experiences like Jesus' all-night prayer session with God, but you'll also find yourselves on many days living a very ordinary life. And Jesus invites you to live that ordinary life near him so that you're ready when life gets over your head. Life with Jesus doesn't require super spiritual experiences that give us goosebumps and angelic voices. It's a life that's set apart with Jesus, responding to his invitation. And into an ordinary life, you and I are invited to a friendship with the God who breathed the stars into place. And in that ordinary closeness with God, Jesus says the same Spirit that raised him from the dead would be alive in you and me. And finally, to be prepared for life getting over our heads, God invites us in this ordinary life to take small steps. And he will take those small steps and bring about some big consequences. Jesus goes to the mountain, he draws near to God in prayer, he gathers some ordinary people around him, and then they go down the mountain. They just went down the mountain. Jesus didn't storm the gates of Rome, he didn't travel all over the world, he traveled within a small geographic area. Jesus didn't look beyond the people who were right in front of him. He responded to people who he could hear call his name. And those small steps that Jesus took built a momentum that is still sweeping the globe today. God showed us through Jesus that he cares about the needs and the people that are right in front of us right now. God showed us that he's not only concerned with your future or your past, he's concerned with your present. He's concerned with the next smallest step that you can take in an ordinary life set apart with him. And when life gets crazy and gets over our heads, the best thing you and I can do is take the smallest step that God is placing in front of us. A life prepared for overwhelming circumstances is a life of small steps and small acts of love and small decisions of faith that add up to big consequences. I love this verse from Zechariah in the Old Testament. It says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." The Lord rejoices. Imagine God rejoicing. Yes, something's starting. Something's beginning. He loves beginnings. He rejoices to see the work begin. Those words were spoken to the people of God when they had been in captivity for 70 years. They had been taken from their homes and held in captivity. And now after 70 years, they're set free and they return home with all kinds of hope and excitement and anticipation, and they arrive back home to find their home in ruins and even the temple, even the center of their life with God, in rubble. And in the face of this massive, overwhelming building project, These words were spoken by the prophet Zechariah that we read. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. What's overwhelming to you right now? What has you overworking, overcommitting, overpromising, overstressed? What is the smallest next step Jesus is inviting you to take to get through it? Maybe you haven't even begun to pray about it. Or maybe you need to talk to someone who's following Jesus about your situation. Maybe you need to set a date or make a list or accomplish one thing on that list. What's the smallest next step you can take to follow Jesus through whatever's overwhelming you? This past week, I met with some people in our church who have begun to serve the needs of teenage girls who have been rescued from a life of human trafficking. It is shocking and overwhelming to realize, to hear stories that in our city, this goes on. Young teenage girls being trafficked as slaves in an underground sex industry. And the stories that I heard about these girls are just overwhelming. The lives that they have been forced to live in our city, horrifying. But two young women from our church family heard about human trafficking. They heard about this horrible tragedy that goes on, and they wanted to do something. You ever felt that way? I just want to do something. We've all seen disturbing realities in our city. We've all seen the homeless population or kids at risk or the hungry or the poor and the sick and the refugees that are here. We've all seen all kinds of burdens and concerns that are overwhelming circumstances. But these two young women from our church family did something. They did something unique, something peculiar. They found a website of an organization that tries to rescue these girls in LA, and they just called them and said, "We want to do something." And as often is the case, that organization told them to call this other number, and so they called another number, and that led to another conversation. And one little conversation at a time, one step at a time, these two young women were able to partner with the LA County Probation Services to put on a little music workshop, just a one-day morning kind of music workshop on a Saturday morning for these young girls who have been rescued out of human trafficking. A little over 30 of these girls gathered in this workshop, and these two young women from our church, they love music and they love Jesus, and so they got together with these girls and they taught them a song, and they made a little choir with them. Can you imagine these young girls who have been abused and isolated and terrified and cut off from the world being taught to sing out, and not just sing alone, but sing in a choir and the power of their voices together like that? And after they sang as a choir, then they sat around in a big circle and they just invited them one by one to go around, and you could either tell a little bit of your story or sing another song if you want to. And they went around, and girl after girl after girl started opening up and started crying and started telling things they'd never told before. It was an amazing time. The supervisor from the county, her response was, "When can we do this again and how often?" She was amazed at the response that it had. Two young women who just love Jesus and love music and wanted to make a difference in the face of overwhelming circumstances took some small steps, but those small steps produced big consequences. Don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see something begin. Tommy, would you come and join me and Alex on the other side as we move to conclusion? When you're overwhelmed, when you and I get into life that's over our heads, remember Jesus calls you and I to a life that is set apart with Him. Not an accidental life, not a random encounter with God, but a life that begins each day in His presence, a life that is anchored in faith, a life that is set apart with Jesus. That is the kind of life that's going to prepare you for when life gets crazy. This set-apart life looks so ordinary so often, but it is a life with an extraordinary God. And in that ordinary life, God's going to take your small steps and He is going to produce some big consequences. Trust Him to do that. It begins by drawing near to Him. It begins by believing that Jesus invited you to know Him and follow Him and say, "Yes, I believe." And it may not always look like fireworks. Life with Jesus looks ordinary, but He is anything but ordinary. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, born of a virgin, sinless in all His ways. He suffered and was crucified and buried, but on the third day He rose again. And after ascending to the Father, He sat down at the right hand of God where He intercedes for you and me. He is the living God, and there is none like Him. No one is higher than His love. No power is greater than His power. No invitation is so full of grace for you and me to trust Him in the ordinariness of who we are and let Him fill our lives with His extraordinary Spirit, because life is going to get crazy sometimes. And you and I are going to need to stand up under some overwhelming circumstances, but we can be prepared for that by living lives that respond to Jesus' invitation to step away, to come away, and live a life set apart with Him.